Once there was a village on the northern coast of British Columbia. The village was surrounded by tall cliffs, and there was only one small channel that led off the cove and into the open sea. On top of the cliffs, there was the rainforest, deep and dark and dangerous. And one day, a monster of a crab big enough to fill the channel, came to live in that small channel. And from that day, no hunters, no matter how brave or how skilled, could get out of the cove, and no food could come in. Now, in this village, there lived a young boy. He was not a brave kid. When the other kids climbed the cliffs, he shook, and they laughed at him. But this boy had big thoughts and big dreams, and he spent many hours sitting on a rock at the edge of a water, looking out at the channel and making up plans to destroy that monster. One day, as he was on the rock making plans, a shadow passed by overhead, and the boy was distracted. He looked up, and suddenly he thought of the Thunderbirds, and he knew that if he were brave, he could go on a spirit quest and ask the Thunderbirds to help his people. But he looked at the cliffs, and he looked at the rainforest, and he knew he was not brave. Still, the shadow crossed the sun again, and this time the boy looked up in time to see an enormous eagle, an eagle bigger than any he had ever seen, and in its claws it was holding a big fish. And the eagle began to swoop down, and the boy ducked and covered his head. When he looked up, the eagle was gone, and the fish, a halibut, was flopping on the rock beside him. He knew that this was food his people really needed, and that the fish must be killed, and there was no one else around. So he took a club, and with more courage than he thought he had, he swung just once, and the halibut lay still. And then, although the boy was thinking that he had to get the fish to the village, he did something that surprised even him. He reached for his mussel shell knife, and with a will that did not seem to be his own, he began to skin the fish. And although the skin was thick and flexible, it was not hard to take off of the halibut. It just fell from the bones. And soon the boy held the skin in his hands and wrapped it around himself, and he thought, "I wish I were a halibut." And in that moment, he was a halibut. He flapped on the rock, and then he flopped over into the water, and he swam free. Now, this is just a story, of course, a story that has nothing to do with you or with me. How could it? You don't look out and see monsters. You don't sit plotting and dreaming dreams that are so big you could never have the resources or abilities to carry them out. But there was a time when my own sons were young, when this was one of the stories they asked for most often. They knew what it was like to be that boy, to be bigger on the inside than they were on the outside. They knew that given just a little luck or help, they could be strong enough and fast enough and smart enough to conquer monsters. And they were thirsty for adventure and for freedom and for a better fit between the way they saw themselves and the way the world saw them. I wonder if you know some people who are bigger on the inside than they are on the outside. People who are dreaming and reaching for something on the other side of a monster. Maybe you remember a time when your own skin didn't quite seem to fit, when your brain and your body and the way people saw you didn't match up. Well, for the halibut with the brain of a boy, life was pretty exciting. The world under the water was full of life and movement and color, and it felt good to move beneath the surface. And then for a moment, even the water seemed to stop, and the rest of the swimming things vanished. And the boy knew in that moment that behind him was another monster of the deeps, this one a whale with its mouth wide open, swallowing everything in its path. And very soon, the boy found himself sucked in through that giant mouth, into the belly of the whale. Now, this has never happened to you. You have never found yourself in a deep, dark place, wondering what would happen next. But it did happen to the boy in the story. He was trapped in a monster, and he wished at that moment that he could stop being a fish and become a boy with a knife. And wishing made it so. He stood in the belly of the whale with his mussel shell knife, and he stabbed, and he stabbed, and he stabbed, until the whale began to die. And then the boy thought, I wish I were a halibut. And in his fish body, he swam free. Now the water around him was salty and churned up, and he wondered what to do next. But it seemed that his halibut body already knew where he had to go. He swam beside the body of the fish whale until it was dragged up onto an island beach. And the boy wished he were a boy and climbed out onto the beach and took out his knife. And he began to skin the whale. Now, you would never do anything that silly, that impossible. But the boy reached for his mussel shell knife, and the skin of the whale began to come free. And when all of the skin was off, the boy wrapped himself in that skin and walked into the water and thought, I wish I were a whale. And in that moment, he grew larger and more powerful than even he had ever imagined. He knew he could travel anywhere in this new body. He could see anything. And he thought, and he knew. And he began to swim back to the one place he most wanted to go. To the channel and the crab and the battle that would free his people. I wonder who out there would take on a monster, knowing that your big, powerful outer self still covered your small, vulnerable inner self. This is a story about sea monsters. When we open our eyes, we see monsters all around. Sarah Taylor is a woman who has been swallowed by a monster. Her husband Keith is waiting in intensive care for a double lung transplant. He is not swimming, but every day he is drowning as his lungs fill up with water. It's fair to say that Keith and Sarah find themselves in the belly of a monster. And one of the ways they are fighting it is to hold on to their very human minds. Sarah has launched a social media campaign that is now a media campaign to grow the list of organ donors. She started with a hashtag on Twitter, and then she began a Facebook page, and now she has been interviewed by most of the Toronto news stations. Sarah is telling Keith's story partly because she hopes it will help him find lungs, partly because she hopes to do good by spreading the word and having more people go to beadonor.ca and sign up to be organ donors, partly because she wants to inspire conversation in families, and partly to remind herself that she holds on to her own will and sanity, even in the belly of a monster. Our friend the boy swam back to fight the giant crab. Knowing that whales are powerful, but that crabs are sharp and flexible, the battle would hurt him even in his new shape. In fact, if all he had had was this powerful shape, the boy would have died. But in the heart of the battle, at the moment when he was bruised and battered, the boy used his brain of a boy. And he remembered that just at the mouth of the channel, there was a ridge under the water, and it was sharp. and he knew that if he could carry the battle over that ridge, he could win. And so he allowed the crab to drag him out towards the mouth of the channel. He allowed his body to scrape along the sharp ridge, and then he pushed as hard as he could out, and the crab squeezed as hard as it could in, and at the moment of maximum pressure, the boy thought, "I wish I were a halibut." And in his halibut body, he swam free of the whale's skin, and the whale's skin collapsed, and the crab collapsed and fell onto the sharp points and shattered. And the boy, who was a halibut, was tired and sore, and he made his way back to the rock, and he leapt and he wished, and as a boy, he lay on the rock, unconscious. When he woke up, the halibut skin was gone. The magic was over. He was bruised and tired and thirsty. And in the distance, he could hear sounds of celebration as the village gathered to celebrate the end of their great enemy. The boy stood up and stretched and tested the fit between the self inside and the skin around it. And then he walked back to the village to have a drink and to listen to the stories that people would tell of the battle of two great sea monsters.